Come with me
to the book of Revelation.
Yes, ma'am.
With me, please. To Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to use a short scripture here. I'm going to begin on verse 10. Revelation chapter 12, beginning on verse 10. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before God day and night." Verse 11. If you don't have this highlighted in your Bible, highlight this in your Bible. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Amen. Key verse I want you to concentrate on is verse 11. "And they that were being attacked, they that were being accused, they that were being persecuted by Satan himself," says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I have used this, not exaggerating, hundreds of times since I've been here alone. And it's as true today as it was the day that it was written. How do you defeat Satan when he's attacking you? How do you shut him up? By claiming the blood of Christ and reminding Satan what Jesus Christ has already done. What is the testimony? Some formal, scripted, written out thesis? Could be. That's very uncommon. A testimony is just what God has done for you. Just that simple. One of the greatest testimonies I've ever heard is written in the book of John. The Gospel of John. The man said, they said, "Yo, Bubba," paraphrasing a little bit, they said, "Where did you get your eyes?" He says, "I don't know." He says, "I was blind, and now I see. I was blind, but now I see." I don't know how he did it. Too many times we're trying to sit down and figure out this, figure out that. How did he do this? How did he do that? How is he going to do the next step? Guess what? It's not your business how he's going to do it. Your business is to get out of the way and let him do it. Amen? That's what he wants you to do. Let him do it. Do what? Whatever needs to be done. Whatever needs to be done. If you need peace and joy in your life, then you need to get the things out of your life that causes distress and unhappiness. Let God bring you joy. Joy that only, can only come from Him. Amen? We need to do that. We need to let God be God. And quit trying to work out all the details. It ain't none of your business what all the details are. If you sit there and wait and wait for explanations and all the details will be thrown your way, you're going to miss out on blessings. Amen? You're going to miss out on many, many blessings. "Well, that ain't the way you did it last time." Yeah, that's true. That's true. He's going to do it a little bit different. Maybe he's going to use the same way. Maybe not. Just let God work out the details. I'm here to tell you today that God is the God of details. Amen? God can plan better than you can any day. Oh, I know some of you are so smart and you know everything in the world and you can be smug about it all you want to, but the fact is you don't compare to what God wants to do in your life. Amen? You cannot and do not compare to what God wants to do in your life. If you stay out of the way, let God take hold of it. Give it to God. Let it stay in His hands. He's going to take you to places you can't even imagine. Amen? Has God taken me everywhere I need to be? No. No. But He's still working on me. Amen? And God will continue to work on you as long as you allow Him to do it. Testimonies. What is a testimony? I used to drink a quart of rum every single night and then go downtown and party. Did that for years and years. I got the ulcers to show it. I did it for years. Am I bragging on that? Am I bragging on it? First glance, you might say, yeah. But you know, it's been over 20 years since I have touched a bit of alcohol. And I was a drunk, an alcoholic, at 17 years old. At 17 years old. Because that was my family heritage. And you don't give up a family heritage without God working in your life. Amen? God changed me. He changed me from the inside to the outside. He pulled. Not only did God allow me to stop drinking, He did what no drug can do, what no man can do, what no counseling can do, what no book can do. He pulled the very desire out of me. Amen? Pulled the very desire out of me. My goodness. I have never desired two things. I've never desired a cigarette since I put cigarettes up over 20 years ago. I have never desired a drink of alcohol since God pulled the very desire from me. God did that. Am I bragging? Yeah, I am bragging. But I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God. I'm bragging on what God can do. God can do anything if we allow Him to do it. And that's what I want to share with people. God can do it if we get out of the way and let Him do it. Amen? God wants to do it. I used to be a lot of things, used to do a lot of things. But by the grace of God, God working inside me, He changed my very desires in life. Amen? Scripture says, God says He will give you the desires of your heart. You can take that a couple of different ways. But the way I like to take it, He will place the desires in my heart. He will give me the desires in my heart. I desire to be a good husband. I desire to be a good father. I desire to be in His house when the doors are open. I desire to work in His Word. I desire to be pleasing in His sight. That's the desires I now have. Amen? And that's only through the grace of God. God's grace working. God changing this. God changing me from the inside out. From the inside out. Some people only change the outside appearance. And I'm here to tell you today that the outside appearance is not what's important. Amen? You know how many times I've gone over to people's house and find a Bible laying on their table? Quite a few times. Would you like me to tell you how many times I found that Bible covered with dust? Huh? If you're going to come call me over and impress me with a Bible being on your table, dust it off. Okay, dust it off. Make a few marks in it. Bend a page. Wow. Yeah, it happens. It happens. But God will cleanse you from the inside going out if you allow Him. Why does God do that? Why does God change you? Why does God change you, my sister? Ah, yeah. Because He loves you. He wants you to be perfect in every way. And I'm here to tell you today that as long as we're in this temporary container, we're not going to be perfect. But we're striving for perfection by His grace, working with Him, listening to Him. God wants you to have all the good things in life, the gooder things. That's one reason. The other reason He wants to do something for you and fix you is, you know how many people I've been able to share my addiction to alcohol with at a young teenage year? I've been able to share that with hundreds and hundreds of people. God cured me. For one, I needed to be cured. And the second reason is that I can bring glory and honor to His name and what He did for me. Amen. Your personal testimony on what God did to you, write this down. What God did for you is not for your personal consumption. What God did for you is not for you to put in a shelf and keep it locked up and never share it. What God did for you, He did for one reason, to make you better. And the second reason is so you can share with others. Amen? So you can share with others. I can give you case after case after case of something happening to people and things going on and God getting people through something. And then years later, that something that God helped them get through, they was able to share and help somebody else get through their problems. Amen? Amen. This is Scripture. This ain't make-believe. This ain't pastor just running his mouth. This is Scripture. I can show you Scripture to back this up. God wants you to share your testimony with others on what He did for you. And they became overcomers by accepting the blood of Christ and the word of their testimony. Satan, you better get on out of here. You can't tip me with that drink no more. I claim the blood of Christ. I claim the blood of Christ. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You can stick that in front of me all day, Satan, if that's what you want to do. You can stick it up there, but my God pulled the very desire out of my body. I want it not. Amen? Is that good English? I want it not. And I stand on the blood and the word of my testimony. Amen? I'm not special. We're all capable of doing that. We have testimonies that God has given each and every one of us so we can share with others. I'm here to tell you today that there are no big testimonies and there are no small testimonies. Amen? There are no big ones, there are no small ones. Like I said, the most powerful one I heard, and it's written and documented in Scripture, is I was blind, now I see. Wow! Don't get much clearer than that. I used to be, but I ain't no more. Right? I did, but I don't no more. Yeah, I used to, but not now. Amen? By the grace of God, He allows us to get victory over many, 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 many things. I'll tell you about, I could share with you someone else's testimony. May I share your testimony? Oh, okay. No? Okay. I'll wipe it off my mouth. I won't even use it. Amen. We all have testimonies. God has done many, many wonderful things. I will share about a young girl that we had. She was Andy, I think she was like 3 years old. Three, maybe going on four. She never walked a day in her life. About 2.5? Okay. Name was Andy. She was born with a defect. Instead of her feet and her legs being perfectly straight like this, her joints and her feet were turned out sideways. She couldn't bend her knees to even crawl. She scooted and pulled herself. And her doctor, her mother, took her to the specialist. Bless her heart. She was scheduled to have a procedure done a week later. What the doctors had planned to do to straighten her out, the only option that the doctors had was to take and break her legs, both of them, turn her legs the way that they're supposed to be, put splints on the inside, and put her in cast. And then from the cast, after the bones healed, then they would put her in some walking things so she could start to walk. That was a solution. That is one of the medical solutions. They have a few different solutions that they can do now. Sometimes they can use just a cast like they do with teeth. You know, they switch them and pull them. But on hers were so bad that they were going to have to break them, reset the bones. We had prayer service on Thursday night. She brought her daughter Andrea to prayer service and asked that the church anoint her. We anointed her with oil, as you saw Sister Rexine do with my hand a while ago, which is completely scriptural for those that may not know. We anointed her, we prayed. And the next week, the night before she's supposed to take her daughter in to the hospital to have this procedure done, she said, "I'm not taking her into the doctor to have that done." In less than 2 weeks after we had prayed for Andrea, just by prayer. When I left Georgia, that was 10 years ago now, she will be a teenager now. She would not sit down. She was making up for lost time. She was walking. She only crawled for just a few weeks. After her legs straightened out, she only crawled for a few weeks, and then she got up and started walking and started running. Amen. I can tell you about a lady that was having 4, 5, and 6 seizures a day. They took her driver's license. She wasn't even capable of taking care of her own children because of the seizures she was having. Again, after prayer, after praying, God healed her. And that's the time when I had left Georgia. For a period of 4 years, she had not had a seizure. Coincidence? What is a coincidence? A coincidence is just a situation where God decides to remain anonymous. That's what a coincidence is. Amen? It's just when He decides to remain anonymous. Now, does God heal everyone that comes to Him and prays? No. No. He certainly doesn't. I have talked before about Paul on many occasions where Paul, who I think God thought pretty highly of, or at least wanted to use a lot, told Paul, "I'm not going to pull that thorn from your side. Whatever it is bothering you, that's too bad. Live with it. My grace will get you through it. Now that's a testimony right there. That is a testimony. No, everything ain't good, but God's grace makes it better. Amen? God's grace will get you through anything. That is a testimony. We're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What has God done for you? Has God done anything for anybody? Has God touched you? Has God changed you? Has God blessed you in any way? Has God touched you? Has God done anything? We're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In saying that, I'm going to open it up for anybody to share any testimony they'd like to share with us. No. No, you can't. This is not a sharing time. I'm going to turn this one off and turn this one on. That way everybody can.
I'm not used to talking to people with my back to them. I went by to see Charlene before she went in, and something that will make this so clear, because she's somebody you know. And she was telling me when she went in to see the oncologist after she'd had all her x-rays done, and they said she had cancer and would have to have surgery and then followed by chemo, followed by radiation. And when she sat to speak with the oncologist, and the nurse brought in the x-rays and they put them up in the thing, and she called her nurse back in and she said, "You brought me the wrong x-rays, take these back." And the nurse looked and she said, "No, it's the right number." She said, "Well, I'm going to check, excuse me." And she went down the hall, came back with them again, and said to Charlene, "See this first x-ray, this is jaggedness that's in here?" Charlene said, "Yeah." And she says, "That's cancer. That's the way it grows, as it attaches to the organs, and it makes this. It's a very distinct, and when it shows up that clearly on an x-ray, they know they have cancer. Not what stage, but they know it's there." She says, "See this x-ray?" Charlene says, "Yeah." She says, "It's gone. It is not there." Before she went to surgery, her oncologist knew her cancer was removed. And that's why I say that you guys are prayer warriors, all of you, but especially you young people, take it so to heart. Continue to do that. Thank you.
I have a free mic here.
I'm like Sheila. I don't like talking to people. Yeah, you want to be able to see it, right? How many of you have had your appendix removed? How many of you have heard most all of your life that if your appendix ruptures, you're dead? How many of you know anybody whose appendix ruptured and lived? There's few, huh? Well, you're looking at one. My appendix ruptured and was inside of me for up to 5 days, according to the surgeon. And he said it had already turned black. And I've got a 6-inch scar on the left side of my stomach instead of over here, where he had to go in and remove the poison and stuff. And he said that, he told me all of this stuff that I might wake up to, and the scar was the only thing I really woke up to. And there was all kinds of poison in there, and I was in the hospital for 5 days, and 4 of those days they pumped 1,000 cc's of that poison out of my stomach a day. And you tell me how it went upstream. your intestines don't work that way. It went back up into my stomach rather than into my bloodstream. It never got into my bloodstream. But the interesting thing is Pastor Gary's been talking about worrying and the peace that passes all understanding and all this. I knew at 5 o'clock that afternoon that my appendix was ruptured, and I had the same ideas that everybody else. If it's ruptured, you're Lazarus, you're dead, you know, basically. But I knew that at 5 o'clock that afternoon. The doctor told me, the CAT scan revealed that it had already ruptured. There was all kinds of stuff in my abdomen that he had to go in and get out. And I laid there for the next 3 hours because I couldn't get into the operating room until 8 o'clock that night. And I laid there, and I cannot explain how much at peace I was, knowing that he was in full control. And I really hadn't even come back to the Lord yet. But, you know, that's another part of my testimony. But I laid there with all the drama that was going on in the recovery room, because that was the only place they had to stick me. And I even had one nurse come pull the curtain too, so I couldn't watch what's going on down there. She says, "You don't need to see this drama." And I thought, you know, if you only knew what kind of drama should be going on inside of me that's not. And, you know, but I laid there in perfect peace. When I went in under the anesthesia, they didn't even have to get me to count backwards or nothing, because I was talking to the anesthesiologist. He knew that as soon as I quit talking, it was over. I was under. But I knew all of what I've discussed going into the operation, and I knew that I would either wake up with the Lord or still here. And, you know, it didn't matter how good the doctor was or how bad he was. It was all in God's hands. And there wasn't anything. He was just the tool that the Lord used. And that's just one thing. I don't want to take up the whole hour.
Well, we got all day. Yeah. Ain't nobody leaving. We got cupcakes over there. Ain't nobody going nowhere. Uh-huh.
Danielle, do you care if I use you? You know, many days, or most days, I start my day with saying, "Lord, give me the wisdom today."
Amen.
To say the right thing when I need to. And I had received in the mail, ladies, we've all gone to Women of Faith, right, or no, Women of Faith. I had received in the mail, maybe about 3 weeks before, a DVD that had Patsy Claremont and, you know, several of the Women of Faith, little parts of some of their things that they do at Women of Faith conferences. And I had meant to watch it, and I hadn't watched it yet. And so one day I was sitting up in my office, and I had it there, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to put this in and listen to Patsy Claremont, because she always makes me smile. She's, you know, got so much energy and always, you know, finds the humor in everything. So I plugged the Patsy Claremont in, and I just started watching it, and I heard on our radio that Danielle was having a rough day and had essentially just walked out of the classroom and away from everybody. So I said, "Send her up to my office." So she came up to my office, and I said, "Bring a chair over so you can watch this with me." Do you remember this? So Patsy Claremont was on, and she was talking about her best friend that had been diagnosed with cancer. And so her best friend had said, and I'm paraphrasing all this and trying to shorten it up, her best friend had said, "Patsy, you know, pray for me." So Patsy said, "I opened my Bible and just where it fell open, and there it was, 'Let there be light.'" And she said, "I didn't know what that meant, but I called my friend and said, 'Let there be light.'" And she said, "And my friend's with cancer going, 'Really? That's the best you got for me? You know, that's all you can give me is 'Let there be light?'" And Patsy goes, "Yeah, that's all I got." So, you know, she does her whole thing on this "Let there be light." Well, at the you know, at the end, what happened was, same thing, the lady had gone in and had x-rays and so forth. And when the oncologist came out with her x-rays, he said, you know, do you see all of these light places on your x-ray? And she said, yes. And he said, that's what we're looking for. That's a good thing. We want to see the light. So she called Patsy right away and said, let there be light. That's what I need, right? So we watched it together, and Danielle kind of looked at me, and I said, Danielle, I don't know what this means, but let there be light. I said, the rest of the week, I want you to be just saying, Lord, let there be light. I have no idea what it means. What happened when we came to church the following Sunday? Do you remember? Yes. The cover was, let there be light.
Thank you, Lord.
So, no accidents. No accidents. And we at school, you know, tell the kids many times, no accidents, you know. So I looked at Danielle and she looked at me and I said, okay, let there be light.
Amen.
All right?
Praise God. Praise God. Wow. Let there be light. I like that. I like that. God is mysterious. He does just wondrous things, and you say, why? One thing I have found out is that God's timing is always perfect. He knows what I need, and more importantly than what, because I tell Him what I need, I give Him a whole grocery list. But He knows what I really need, and more importantly than that, He knows exactly when I need it. Amen. He always does. Anyone else like to share something with us this morning? Janae?
Well, I always said I'd get around to telling you guys some of the stuff that went on with my mom, so this last thing he said reminded me it was time. Some of you may know that I did go back to Alabama last November. And I knew it was time. I was going to get Mom into assisted living. Actually, you have to have a certain mental score to get into assisted living. And the last time Mom had been tested, she didn't qualify. She was going to have to go into memory care, which is a lockdown situation because they can wander off and hurt themselves. And I knew this was going to be difficult, but I didn't expect her to be able to do any better than that. So I went back in November, took her in, got her tested. Guess what? She aced the test. She qualified for assisted living. I said, well, that's okay, God. I said, the one thing I got to do is get her out of her car because she is a hazard to everyone on the road. So I also took her for a driving test. Guess what? She aced the driving test. So I got down on my knees and I said, God, I came here for two things and neither of them are going to happen. And I said, what I want you to know is, you have a plan, and I'm sorry that I jumped to conclusions, because Mom will do better in assisted living than she would have done in memory care. But what that meant I had to do was to leave Mom in God's hands in the car until such time as they had a place in assisted living, because there is a very long waiting list. So in March, I got the call that they had a place in assisted living. And I got in the car the next day, and I drove 2,000 miles. Now, one of the things that I had to do to get Mom into assisted living, and now this is a woman who says she's fine, she doesn't need it, is take her to the doctor. The doctor has to fill out paperwork. She has to also take the mental test again, and she has to pass it again. So I have these things that I'm trying to get taken care of the day before I leave. And come to find out, well, I can't get there. I'm driving 2,000 miles. I can't be there till Friday. Can I get her to the doctor on Friday? So the nurse goes, we don't have any openings on Friday, and she's on vacation the whole next week. And I went, okay, I'm sure this is the right time. Let's see what we can do. I called Mom. I told her the situation. She says, I don't need assisted living. And finally she says, just do what you got to do. Okay? I got in the car and started driving. So at each morning, I would get up and try to talk to the doctor's office. Do you know how hard it is to talk to the nurse on the phone? And I just said, I got to keep going. I know there's going to be something that works out. But what I was trying to do is get the nurse, or get the doctor to fill out the paperwork and let her see a different doctor the next week. I still didn't know if that was going to happen when I hit the road. So it took me a half a day longer than I thought. It took me 3.5 days to drive to Alabama. And I got there in the middle of the day, and I went immediately to the doctor's office because I could do that. Mom didn't know I was there yet and went to the doctor's office. And the nurse says, well, your mom was in yesterday. That would have been Thursday. Why was mom here on Thursday? Well, she got dizzy and fell, and the caregiver brought her here. So her doctor was able to fill out all the paperwork I needed, and they gave it to me to take to assisted living right then. And I'm like, okay, God. Glad I didn't drive 2,000 miles for nothing. There was one thing after another that happened. When I got to the house, Mom immediately told me all the reasons she didn't need assisted living. I told her all the reasons that she was not correct, that the problems that she could have. And she finally said, oh, well, there's no point in arguing about it. So for the next, this was for Saturday and Sunday, I'm tippy-toeing around trying not to upset her, not knowing what to expect. And then Monday I said, well, now we have to go get you a memory test at assisted living. She said, okay. I was like, okay. So I took her. She aced the test. She did so well that the nurse there who gave the test did not know she had Alzheimer's. Mom is able to function very well. So she says, well, she should do really well here. I said, you know, she sees that she's from the doctor's paperwork that she has Alzheimer's, but she said she functions very well. I said, I know that. But I said, you know, there's these other concerns about, like, she fell and that sort of thing. Mom never did tell me, by the way, that she got dizzy and fell the day before I got there. She never passed that on. She forgot that part. Yeah, she put that away. So everything proceeded. We got her moved in. They wanted to meet with me before I came back. They wanted to have her there a week and then let me know how things go. Now, my mother is a very social person, unlike me, and yet for the last year and a half, she spent most of her time sitting in her room. She eats in her room. She watches TV, and she goes out with her friends once or twice a week, and that's pretty much it. And I'm thinking, gosh, if I could just get her into assisted living, there's all these people she could talk to. Well, she says, I don't need all that. She says, I'm just going to die. I'm just going to sit here in my little chair, and I'm going to die here. And I said, well, you were living in one room before. It's not going to be any different. Well, you know what? When I got there and met with all the people that had been with her all week, they said, oh, she's great. She walks in, she talks to everybody, she hugs everybody, all this type of stuff. I'm like, thanks, God. So I went knowing that I had no idea how it was going to turn out. I knew it had turned out badly. And as I was driving, this was something that struck me, what Pastor did a couple weeks ago. The verse God gave me that first night, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and thinking, you know, it didn't work before. You're driving all this way. You're going to, you know, burn up more time and still not get her settled and all this type of stuff. Guess who was saying that, by the way? And so I flipped on the light, opened the Bible, and the verse was, fret not. So it's one of those things. We've been studying experiencing God, and, you know, there's a lot of cool things people can testify about, healings and so forth, and I've had God touch me in that way too. But the thing is, he's there every day for the biggest thing or the littlest thing. And it doesn't really matter what it is. If it matters to you, God is there with you. And don't ever think anything is a coincidence, because it never is. And the very last thing I was getting, I had to get the condo. I did this in 19 days. Got Mom moved, settled, emptied the condo, got everything taken care of that way. The last day, there was someone who wanted to see the condo before it had even been listed. And I was trying to get it cleaned at the very last minute. And the girl had come in, and when she vacuumed in the bedroom, we found that Mom had spilled her coffee numerous times in one spot. So the tan carpet in one spot was, the beige carpet in the one spot was tan. And the lady could not do the carpet cleaning. I'm on my last day, and I'm trying to get everything done. The guy's going to be here at 5 o'clock tonight to see this place. So she said, well, there's this one place that does it. She said, I have another job to go to, but there's a place that comes in and cleans carpets. So I called them, and I said, I want to know, is there any way you could clean the carpet this afternoon or at least no later than tomorrow morning? He says, no, I can't do that for you. Well, we just had a cancellation. He can come right now.
God in detail. Amen. Amen. The Scripture says that God inhabits the praises of His people. How do we praise God? Sometimes we praise Him in song. Sometimes we praise Him just lifting our hands and shouting. And sometimes we praise Him just by sharing of our testimony. Amen? It says He inhabits. He lives. He lives in the praises of His people. And I thank God. I thank God for every single thing that He has done, the things He is doing. And I'm really looking forward to things He's going to do. Amen? I really am. Anyone else would like to share anything this morning? You're not too young. You're not too old. Well, some are, but she's not even paying attention. She's looking at the book back there.
Well, I'm not going to try and give everybody a complete history. We'll just kind of skip over the bad parts. All right? I gave my heart to the Lord when I was like 12 years old. And most people say, you know, that's... Yeah. But I had about 5 years there of... That was pretty good. Then I grew up and joined the Marine Corps. And then I figured, well, you got to live up to the uniform, right? Except I didn't realize there was a lot of good Christians that was in the Marine Corps that didn't have this problem that I did. But anyway, I'll say this. I drank and smoked and committed probably a few other sins. But I never forgot the Lord. Now, I don't know where this is. I don't know where to tell you this is the way it's supposed to be done. But off and on, for the next 30 years, like one guy asked me, he said, you don't believe in God, do you? And at the time, I was tending bar. And I said, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. I don't know how much of an impression that made on anybody, but I felt fairly good about myself because I never got intimidated. I got to admit that I have known very intimately some people who I don't believe there's any way in the world that would have ever been forgiven of their sins. Although I know that God can do this, and I'm not God. Thank goodness for all of us, I'll tell you. But the way my life turned around was after me and Linda got together and got married, and at the time it was just a slow process, a growing process from then. We still went out and drank. As a matter of fact, thank God now I can say that I quit smoking. But that was back in 1977, which I know seems like an awful long time ago. But I should have quit at least 10 years before that. But never mind that. We got called by a friend of ours, Bill Copeland, and they wanted to get together at the ABI building and try to build a church, start a church. And that's really, if anybody knew Amargosa Valley at that time, I would say this church is a miracle. Because I really could have never believed it could grow this much. But we started out and we continued with the church from that time to this time, and it just, our dedication is what kept growing. It wasn't any sudden opening up of God saying, okay, step right in. You're it. It took us a long time to slowly get rid of the bad things in our life. I could truthfully say I don't think we ever really hurt anybody other than ourselves. But the Lord had His hand on us for some reason or another. Now, I'm glad Sophie's not in here because I got to tell you, I've said for a long time the way I mistreated my body through drink and I told Linda one time, I said a guy was laying out cocaine and I watched him doing lines of cocaine and I offered it to me. And I just said no. And my wife says, why did you not try it? I said, well, I was probably afraid I'd like it. But some reason or another, the Lord kept me away from drugs other than alcohol. And I'll admit that's a drug. But I don't believe it's as bad as a lot of people are doing. But regardless, I've always said, I don't know why I am physically in as good a shape as I am. I mean, all of you know I'm over 65. Barely. And I couldn't understand seeing other people my age, wondering how come they're physically so down, and a lot of them I knew well enough to know that they hadn't abused themselves as bad as I did. About 13 years ago, Bonnie came to us and said she was pregnant. And she had no place to go. She wound up for the last 6 months of her pregnancy on our couch. And then when Sophie was born, knowing that there was no way that Bonnie, because Sophie's dad had gone, left, period, gone. He did come back 3 years later. But I finally realized, and I told Linda, I said, you know, God put us here for Sophie. And I've always believed that. And I thank God for it, because from everything I know, and her mother's still with us, I don't know, if it hadn't been for me and Linda, I have no idea what would happen to something. But I just thank God.
Amen. God works in mysterious, mysterious, mysterious ways. And praise God. Okay.
I had the privilege being adopted into a little Scandinavian couple. And they're kind of quiet. And they're very... what do we say? That European quietness, yet strong people. And the Lord gave them me, full of life. But boy, did I learn lessons in a parsonage. The Lord knew what He was doing. And I could just share so many happenings that the Lord provided. Miracles. And as a little girl, I would watch, and my eyes get big. It was nothing to see my parents on their knees, constantly praying to the Lord. I remember we moved to Alaska, and I was just starting junior high. And one evening, Papa believed that the Lord is going to provide. We don't need to announce it.
And so I remember we had lots of people. They knew when it was 5 o'clock they would come for dinner. So I would look at the spoon. If it was a big spoon, that meant plenty for all. But if it was a smaller spoon, that meant hold back, let the guests have. And I remember it was snowing one evening. And Mother said, Papa, there's no more food in the pantry. We had a big pantry. There is no more food. We are out of bread. That's where I learned to make bread from then on. But we had no bread. There's nothing. The soup, that's it. I hope we don't have anyone coming to the door. Papa says, if they come, the Lord will stretch the soup. So it was just the three of us sitting. Well, there was another lady living with us, and so it was the four of us. And the Lord, and Papa just thanked the Lord for the food and the provision that we were about to eat. And I'm looking at it. Okay. We ate, and after every supper, regardless who's there, regardless what, if there was young people's night at the chapel or at prayer meeting or whatever, we always had family devotions around the table, and we got on our knees when it was time to pray. Papa would read the scripture. He would read the little daily bread from Dehan's Back to the Bible. And then it was nothing. We got on our knees. And sometimes Papa would ask Mother to pray. And Mother would pray and pray and pray and pray. Long prayers. Okay, so we got up. And Papa was praying, and he was just about to say, Amen, when there was a knock on the door. And who could be at the door in the snowstorm? Now, we lived out in the country in Alaska, and there are two military bases. Papa never believed in asking the military to go to the commissary to buy food. No, that's their privilege. Of course, we have the privilege of going to a grocery store. No, he believed in that. He never asked. It was a young military couple. They were in the commissary. And he said to his wife, Diane, Rick did, to Diane, and he says, I don't know, but we're to buy some groceries for the pastor and his family for the parsonage. So then they bought it, and of course we're eating the last there is. Literally, I remember it was flat, no more food. Here we were at the door, knocking, snow coming down. It's miles out to the chapel from Elmendorf Air Force Base. They were Air Force people. And they said, we don't know, but we bought groceries. Now, the commissary sacks of groceries are about that high. I mean, it's loaded. And they brought in 5 bags. And I was so excited because on top of one of the bags was some donuts. I remember I was so excited. And pump out. So the Lord provides just at the right time. I have seen time and time and time again. I've had the privilege. And I even have experienced His provision in many ways. I have seen gas stretched out, and I wonder, how did we get there when it said empty? Papa then, they brought the food in, And Papa says, you've got to get back because of the snowstorm that you're going to get. You have to get to work. And oh, that's fine. We'll help you. No, that's just fine. But let's thank the Lord. In front of the fireplace, on our knees. It was none of this holding hands in a circle, not with Papa. You got on your knees because we're before the Lord God most holy, before the throne of grace. And we all got on our knees and, oh, talk about prayer. Papa really prayed and thanked the Lord. God does supply. God is there. He is ever so faithful. Sometimes in the middle of the night you wonder, I know you're here, but are you there? And if you allow the Holy Spirit to cover you, you can feel the presence at night. He never fails. He does not forsake the righteous. And I have never forgotten all that food. From then on, we've never been out of food. And we've always had the abundance. And the chapel grew and grew. And it's just marvelous. So, don't give up. The Lord is faithful. Even in our everyday living, He is there. It takes a while. I want my answer right now. And the Lord just says, My timing. Learn to grow in me while you're waiting. And I'm still learning that. Thank you, Pastor, for this. I just love hearing all the testimonies here.
Amen. I never get tired of hearing what God has done, what He is doing. Because we all know what He's going to do. We know what He's going to do in the future. But it's nice to hear what God is doing for you. You know, I said again earlier that your testimony is not for your private consumption. Sister Rexine is sharing about the groceries. I can share numerous stories about people talking about how God just miraculously provides it just at the right time. My sister Audrey, sister in Christ, they were on their lat. I don't even know if they even had a bag of beans left in the cupboard. But suddenly there shows up someone from church and they brought every single thing that she had on the grocery list. And she wrote the grocery list and put it in her pocket. Nobody knew what she needed except God. God is a provider. God will be there if we just, you know, and all the little details. I shared with Sister Jenny when she was in Alabama, while I could still understand her there. But I shared, you know, God is the God of little details. He works out the littlest things that we just couldn't even conceive of if we just allow Him to do it. And God does like us to say thank you now and then. He likes us to share with others what He has done for us. I'm going to cut it off right now, but this ain't the last one. This ain't the last one. God likes to hear. Scripture said, He inhabits the praises of His people. And I praise Him. Amen? Stand with me, please. I'm sure I didn't get to everybody. But we're going to have some more. Just think about what God has done for you. Because you know, whatever it is you went through, whatever it is you're going through, there may be someone standing right next to you that's going through the same thing. Amen? And they need to hear how you got through it. If it's from food, if it's from helping others, from anything. Someone needs to hear what you've been through. God is a great and awesome God. This was my vacation day because I wanted y'all to share God's Word with us. Amen? I get blessed I get super blessed by hearing what God is doing for others. I know what He's doing for me. I can see what He's doing for some, but some I don't know. I love to hear testimonies of the righteous. Amen. Precious loving Father, we thank You, we praise You, and we know that Your Word says You inhabit the praises of Your people. We ask that You continue to be with us, guide us, direct us. Lift us up, Lord God, as only You can, Lord. Lord, just use all of us in here, Lord. Lord, let us make a difference, a positive difference in someone's life as we go out there this week. And may we never, ever forget that is in fact You are the author and the finisher of our faith. I thank You, I praise You, and I love You. In the name of Jesus Christ. Give everybody a big hug.